To headlines, this is David Lichtenstein.
This week, instead of guests, I will be the guest. It's Hanukkah, it was a little hard to get people. So I was invited to give a shiur at Erech Chaim, which I did. And they asked for a contemporary topic, which contemporary halacha is something that I enjoy learning. So I spoke about a topic that we had on the radio recently, which is dealing with all the scandals in our community. Should we have boundaries or not? So I hope you enjoy it. But before it, I'd like to say a little thought. You know, they say that the Panavizhurov, Rav Kahneman, was in Rome. And he passed under the Arch of Titus. And he saw the iconic engraving in the arch of the menorah being carried back to Rome. In the year, you know, basically 2017 years ago. And he was very moved when he saw it, and he passed under it, and he supposedly exclaimed in a loud voice, "Titus, Titus, you came to destroy us. Where are you today? Whereas look at us. Our Torah is alive and flourishing and blossoming. What's happened to you? You thought you could outlast us, but we are here today, and the Roman Empire is gone. There is no memory of you." So we're here, we're finishing Hanukkah, and I wanted to share with you a Hanukkah thought. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara in Shabbos, and that's Chaf Beis Amar Aleph, in Madlikin Miner Lener. Are you allowed to light from one candle to the other candle and not use the shamus? So it's machlokes Rav and Shmuel. And Rav says, ein madlikin. And Shmuel says, madlikin. And the Gemara says, all over the halach is like Rav. All of Shas, hundreds of times, right? Rabba Bar Nachmeni was Rav. And he was the Rebbe of Abaya. Abaya was called Nachmeni. So the great Rav was the Gadol Hadar. The Halacha was always like him. Levar Mehani Plas, the Ovid Kishmuel. Except for these three cases. And one of them is Madlikin Miner Lener. And here's a possible thought as to the significance of Madlikin Miner Lener. You know, Ner represents light, warmth. It could represent kindness. It could represent a human at his best. Some people, when it comes to sharing, they say, you know, if I give of myself, it diminishes me. I have to spend time learning with my kids. I have to spend time taking care of my family. My shul, my yeshiva, my neighborhood, my friend, etc. Anything past that diminishes me. And what does the Gemara say? No, madlikin miner lener. Rav says you can't because it's makhish. Makhish mitzvah. It causes the first ner temporarily to, when you light it, it flickers. It loses some of its potency. Whereas Shmuel says, no, we don't care about makhish mitzvah. You're spreading light. And there's nothing more important than spreading light. My father, Zichron Levracha, used to say over, he says that one of the birds that are unpure, that are inedible because of kashrus, is the chasida, the oifat tameh. He said, why is it the chasida on their tameh? So Rashi says it's called chasida. It does good only lamina, only to its kind. So it keeps, it's not madlik miner laner. So there's a lesson, a valuable lesson here. We have to spread. We will not, Rav says, Shmuel says, we don't get diminished by doing kindness for others. We end up with the light that was within us, and we've spread light to others as well. So let me share with you a story. There was a wealthy fellow who wasn't religious, and he, for some reason, nobody knew why, he continually kept giving most generously to Jewish causes, and particularly to yeshivas. And one time, there was a Rosh Hashiva was by him, and he said, why do you give so generously to Rosh Hashivas? You certainly don't look like one of us. He said, let me share with you a story. He said, when I was a young boy, I was sent to Radin to learn by the Chafetz Chaim. But I came from an irreligious background, and I myself was not interested in Yiddishkeit at all. And I came to the Chafetz Chaim to be feherd. I came to the yeshiva, and I was feherd by the Beichen. And after talking to me for 5 minutes, he realized not only did I not know anything, but I was really disinterested. So he told me, I'm sorry, you're a lovely young boy, but you don't belong in our yeshiva. You should go back. Well, it was too late that night to leave. And he conferred with the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim came over to me and he said, look, it's too late for you to leave to get the train tonight. So tonight you'll sleep in my home. He says, I went to the Chafetz Chaim home. And a ramshackle, a poor little house he had. Right? He had one bed over there, an extra bed, with a thin sheet to cover the bed. And the Chafetz Chaim, they served me their gruel for supper. I sat with him. I ate with him. And then I went to sleep. It was cold. You know, the Russian winter could be cold. And it was a thin sheet. And I was shivering. In the middle of the night, I sense somebody standing over me. And I look up and the Chafetz Chaim. And he sees me shivering. And the Chafetz Chaim was wearing a coat. So he said he took off his heavy overcoat. And he stood there in his shirt. And then the Chafetz Chaim started shivering. And he put his warm, heavy coat on me. And I was instantly warmed. And I slept wonderfully the rest of the night. And the Chafetz Chaim left shivering. And this old man looked at the Rosh Yeshiva and he said, and you know, today, it's 70 years later, and I still am warmed by the coat of the Chafetz Chaim. That act of kindness, of love, warms me so many years later. When we spread love, when we do a taiva, not only do we remain, Chafetz Chaim was not diminished. He lived until his 90s. But he lit a candle that lasted 70 years later. I heard a story recently. There was a boy. He goes to the nursing homes, maybe Friday, maybe Sunday, Ben Asarim, and he takes care of elderly people. He does it as a taiva. So one time, there's a few elderly people there, and they said, you know, somebody here in the nursing home is making chasana, a friend of ours, a grandchild, and they invited two of us to come. Would you take us to the wedding? So he took two of them to the wedding, two elderly men he took to the wedding, and he walks in, he's like a handsome young man, he comes to the wedding with one older gentleman, a very older gentleman on each side, scruffy looking, let's face it, in nursing homes, sometimes they don't get the best of care. And they sit by the wedding and they're enjoying, but they're eating and food is falling on their shirts and on the floor, and they're, you know, very old people. And he's brushing them off, and some people at this fancy wedding are looking at him like, little bit like really like the dribbling on their shirt. And afterwards, towards the end of the wedding, it's time to go. They had a wonderful time, and he starts walking with them out. And one distinguished looking gentleman calls out to them. He says to the young man, he says, wait, you forgot something. Everybody turns around. The young man says, what did I forget? He says, you left something behind. He says, what did I leave behind? He said, you left behind such a powerful example of Midas Taivis and Ahavas Yisrael. That's what you left behind here by the wedding. You know, is this boy diminished? Maybe he missed Seder. Maybe he missed the date. The great Hafla, the Pinchas of Nicholsburg, says, Tzadik Hatzomer Yifrach, the righteous, the Tzadik, will grow like a tummel, like a great palm tree, a date palm. Date palms grow very high. Ke'erez balvanen yiskid, it'll reach like a cedar. So the Baal HaFla says, you know, in nature, if you take a calf and you don't allow it to grow into adulthood, become really robust, but you made it at a young age and it starts giving birth, it never reaches its full potential. It always remains scrawny. He says, the tzaddik, the righteous person, is afraid. If I spread my light, will I become diminished from it? If you have a family, you bring in guests, you spend time at the Shabbos table with guests, Well, you're taking away a little time from your children. If you go out to help somebody, you're diminishing what you can learn, what you can do. He says, Tzadik HaTayifrach, it grows to a great date palm, and it, so much fruit it gives. But don't think you'll be diminished. David HaMelech promises us, Ke'erez Bovan and Yiske. The cedar is narcissistic and vain, it has no fruits, and it grows to a mighty height. He says, the date palm, a promise from David HaMelech, will rise to the same height as the cedar. We will not be diminished by being madlik, miner l'ner. So this is Chanukah. The ner, our candelabra is on the arch of Titus. Titus is forgotten. The Roman Empire is forgotten. But the kindness, the message of kindness remains with us. And I recently saw in a poll, it said the number one most charitable people in the United States are the Jewish people. Titus is forgotten. The message of the menorah is with us. Have a wonderful, whatever's left of Chanukah, and let's go to the shir.
Well, so let me go to a social question, a non-Chanukah question. Unfortunately, this question is happening on Chanukah too. But just yesterday, somebody, last night I was by a little Chanukah mesiba, and somebody brings me an article in the Wall Street Journal that they arrested a whole bunch of Fruma people, Ponzi schemers on a billion-dollar plus scheme, and all the names are all Fruma, and the investors sadly are Fruma, etc. So an interesting thing happened to me. I was in a shul in Manhattan, Beit Kessel Osser, and I look up, and who's there? A guy who was just in the papers the day before. And what was this guy in the papers for? He had bribed government officials, and the paper said he had flown to Las Vegas to bribe a bunch of cops, etc. And he had made sure to order a kosher meal on the plane, the paper said. It said Orthodox man orders kosher meal. And the guy comes over to me and he gives me a big baruch havo, agadjar, agabenshjar. And I looked at the guy and I said, don't come into my dal damas. I said, the best thing you could do for Yiddishkeit is not to come to shul, but to convert. So that the next time they have this thing, it doesn't show a guy with a yarmulke and a kosher. So the guy then sends his b'nei bayis and his mishpacha and he's not moichel me, he's a bar mechila now, yeah? Mevaz against the klal Yisrael, but he's a bar mechila. So the question is, what should we as a community, when you wake up and you say, because what happens when somebody with a yarmulke does something, they don't embarrass themselves, they embarrass every religious Jew, right? And what happens? That means that if you have a kid who's a little bit, you know, not so sure how his tzura should be, he says, my goodness, this is what the Orthodox look like. And if you're a kiruv on a campus, what do they tell you? The friars say, look what all your learning has done for you. And then on another basis, if you're involved in with yeshivas, the yeshiva in New York City that we were trying to get a zoning thing for, we were getting help from the mayor's office. The minute this happened, the mayor said, look, just don't call us anymore. So it affects, it's basically almost like a meisus ameidiach, it's a chaytu machti, it causes people, you know, it says by many great people, it says Rabin Heshiv Mayavayin, these are people, Adarabin, they're zoyche them from Yiddishkeit. It causes a tremendous chilul Hashem. It causes moistis that would need help from us. Our moistis siburium, the government shuts them down. So you come to shul, and the guy's sitting next to you by davening. You just say, okay, don't say anything, look the other way. Yeah, we'll give him a hakafah too if we have to, because we're very polite. Or do you say, you know, loyachein bim kaimenu, and you say, we don't want you in our community, please leave. What should the hashkafa and halacha of Fruma people be in such a situation? So I'll tell you an interesting story. I'll compare two things that happened to two communities, and then we'll go into the halacha. Howard Friedman's a friend of mine. He says he gets a call one day. He says, you know, two houses away from you, yeah, it was rented. He says, yeah, I know it was for rent. He says, a fellow by the name of Shlomo Dweck is moving in. Now, Dweck was famously in the paper that he himself got into trouble, so he did a deal with the feds where he would he would entrap 13 elderly rabbanim. What did he went into them? He said, "Oh, you have such tsaros. Could you cash a check for me? And here, I'll give you back money." And they did. They didn't. They weren't interested in doing this. It was pure entrapment. And he got 13. And we, for the New York Times, for 13 weeks in a row, you saw different Sfaradish rabbanim. I think there was an 87-year-old rav who barely spoke anything. I guess at that point, being led away in handcuffs. Because Dweck then got a reduced sentence. Instead of getting 10 years, he got 2 years or a year or whatever. And now Howie Friedman says, he's moving in next door to me. So, and his kids are in the Beis Yaakov. So he calls up the head of the Beis Yaakov and he says, who told the kids into the Beis Yaakov? He says, oh, he called the dayan of the Beis Din in the city, told him the story, and the dayan said he called Rabbi Feldman, and Rabbi Feldman said, yeah, he called up the dying, says, I called Rabbi Feldman. So Howie Friedman's a chevron line. So he goes to Rabbi Feldman, he says, you know, he lives on Yeshiva Lane. He says, you know, Feldman, there's an apartment just one flight up from you that's empty. Would you mind if somebody moves in, he's not from the yeshiva? So he says, well, you have to get away. He says, no, I could get it pushed through on holiday. What am I? He says, you know, he says, oh, congratulations, Shlomo Dweck is moving in upstairs from you. She says, upstairs from me? I don't want that. She said, but you told the dying from the city that he could move in. He said, no, I told the dying from the city. I was asked, somebody who was released from jail, could they let his kids into the Beis Yaakov? He said, Abad. I said, yes, what's the Shaila? I wasn't told it was somebody who entrapped 13 elderly rabbanim. So they went back, they had another yeshiva's Beis Din, and they sent his kids out of the Beis Yaakov, and he moved someplace else. Now the obvious question in such a case is, two shailos lahalacha come up. First of all, because the guy did an aveir, does that mean he should never be able to daven in shul again? And B, even if he was a chayta, are his children responsible? So it's not just, these are not social, they're also social issues, but they're real halachic issues as well. So the question is, how do we deal with it? Now let's juxtapose it to another community. It was a very big Talmud Chacham in Lakewood. He actually appeared on my program. His name is Rav Aaron Sorsha. And his son was molested by the nephew. So what did he do? He went ahead and he went to the yeshiva and he said, look, he molested my son and he was moida. I accosted him and he was moida. So you should stop him from allowing to be near children. He shouldn't be a teacher anymore. And they didn't follow up. He pushed them. So he went to the police and the police arrested him. And he was convicted to a bunch of years, 10 years or 12 years or 15 years in jail. They offered him a plea bargain. He got aces not to do it, etc. So what did they do in Lakewood? They threw, there were a bunch of Kanoim, Abba Hershkowitz, and they, in his shul, he was the rav of a community, and he was the boichen for the yeshivas Lakewood. And the Kanoim came running, and they were mavata him. They came to his own shul and gave drushes. And they made him so uncomfortable that the father and the family of the victim had to leave Lakewood. So here's how two communities responded. One said, no, you not only can't you do anything, we're chasing you out of town if you do something. And the other community went ahead and threw. So the question is, who's right, la halacha? So this is something that is not a new thing. And it's been discussed for thousands of years. You know, if you go back to halacha, you'll find the makor for almost everything. So the Mechaberin, the Ramah in Shin Lamed Aleph, it's page 2 here, talks about this question. He says, what's the halacha if you put somebody in nidui, and after you put him in nidui, he's going to go out, latar b'sra. We put somebody in cherem. Why could you put somebody in cherem? The dozens of reasons, even for being over a drabanan, if he doesn't do tshuva, you can put him in cherem. So now the shaila, if you want to put somebody in cherem, he's not going to go to a minyan anymore. He should become fry because he bribed somebody, because he was a roide, if he was masakin somebody, or even he was mavazet talmud chacham barabim. So the Ramah paskins like this, the top of page 2. And it's a very hotly disputed Ramah. He says, "Afilu yesh lachay shal yedei kain yetsi l'tar b'sra ein lachay shbekach." Even if you're afraid the person is going to leave the community, he's going to go l'tar b'sra. He could shmazach up. What's halacha ein lacha shpatach? So the Taz that's on the left, he says I totally disagree with the Ramah, he says. And he says, what's the makor of the Ramah? He says the Ramah's makor is a Trumas Hadeshin. And the Trumas Hadeshin says a story. It says Rebbe, before he was Nifta, used to said Kama Nevuos. And what was one of the Nevuos? He says that there's a city he says like this, Amar Rabbeinu HaKadosh Beis Tirase B'derech Nevuah. Rav Acha Bar Yasha Shamtinu Lahane Da'akfu Peri B'kav Rav Achilu Shabbos V'ashtu Modoi Mishumdim Shamtinu. He says, and they were shmadzich up because he put them on Cherem. So he said, what's the purpose of the Gemara bringing this story? So the Trumas Hadeshin says, the purpose of bringing the story is that if you need to put somebody in Cherem to protect the community, even if you see that he's going to shmadzich up, the community comes first. Right? The victims come before perpetrators. That's the psaka, that Trumas Hadeshin. So he argues, and he says a case. He asks a question. He says, if a person sold himself into avdus, right? What's the halacha? The halacha is yumachuyiv, and he could end up, he's an eved by goyim, let's say, right? He says, what's the halacha? He says, you have to be paid to the person. He says, why? Because the halacha is ein doichin even achar hanoifel. You don't push a stone after somebody who fell. So he says, if there's a concept, you're afraid that in his avdus, it's not the best of situations, he can become irreligious. So he says, if somebody who is religious, the halacha is ein doichin achar hanoifel, you don't push a stone after him, said he'd become irreligious. He says, clearly, when you know somebody is going to become irreligious, you wouldn't do it in that case. So he says, there's a shash, shemiyetzi, letarbis ra. He says, you have a gemara that's neged that. That's one raya he brings. And the other raya he brings is from a case of, from the Marie Mintz. He says that there was a woman who the halacha is the meinekes, is not allowed to get married, is long for 2 years, the Mechaba Paskins. It's in Yeridaya in, I forgot where it is, maybe, I don't remember, maybe Kuf Yud Beis? Okay, halacha is that a meinekes is not allowed to marry for 2 years. So, what's the halacha if a woman is a meinekes, and the only person who wants to marry her is, she said, if the fellow doesn't marry me, let me read it inside. Right? It may be raya. He itzad. Okay. He says, "What's the lachad?" Isha came and she said, "Listen, I'm in love with some fellow, and I'm nursing. If you don't allow me to marry him, I'm going to go live with him without marriage. So in that case, would you allow him?" To be over the takana drabanan that a woman has to. So the Marie Mintz was matirit. He says, why? Because you chayshish, they shouldn't go out with tarbisra. So he says, so you see, for the chash of tarbisra, the Taz says, chachamim waived the din of meinekes, they waived the din of in the case of eved, they mochayev you to be poyed than eved. And he brings a third case. He says, there was an itza, to have a avi in shiboy yisura. So he says there was a shifcha who was very attractive, and men were having relationships with her that were illicit. So he says the Gemara says you should be, even though there's an iser, kala meshachar avda ever basay, it's a mitzvah to meshachar this woman, they were matir to meshachar this woman, rather than have people living with her illicitly. So he says, you see, so to prevent an aveira, we go out of a way and we're even mevatel a mitzvah daraisa of kol meshachar avdei, the din of meinekes chaveri is asa, etc. So Taz argues and he says, no, if you know somebody is going to become fry, what's the lachi? You say, we're not going to, in that case, you don't aim doichar achar nevel. So if somebody is going to be put in nidui and you know he's going to turn it up, you pick up the nidui. So the question then would become, So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Rama or do we paskin like the Taz? So if you look in the Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef, he says, look in the bottom, in Shin Lamed Aleph, it's the third line from the bottom of the Nekudas HaKesef. Hikshal Marim, if Yesh Livchais Kol Rayaitzav, Dehach Akiva de Din Bethan Ushamanaden, Ein Lachish Din Loikain, Batla Din Yisrael. He says, if we're going to allow individual, he's not, something could happen to the person, he says he's going to be Batla Din Yisrael. That's how the Shach paskins. Now, a lot of other Paiskim agree with the Shach, and it's the consensus of the Paiskim. So, for example, the Chassam Seifetz on page 4 brings this Taz, and he's doicha all the rayas of the Taz. And I'll try to go through them one by one. So he says, for example, the last case, very interesting, very clever. He says, the case of the Shifcha, who they were Meshacher. He says, Dalach is a Meshacher av the Eva Batei. Let's say you're Meshacher the Eved for a reason. Like the Eved says, you know, I have a cousin who'll give you 20 grand, be Meshacher me, you'll let it be Meshacher then. He says, yes, the whole din of a Meshacher av the Eva Batei is not to do it freebie. But if you're doing it for a purpose, Allah says you're allowed to be Meshacher. He says if they were doing it to save the community from you know, corruption, from moral corruption, he says that's also a value. So if that's that value, there's no Eivir Basay. So you don't have a raya from that Gemara, that's why they were allowed to do it. But Stamach Shash of Yetzel Atar B'Sarav, Adi wouldn't be allowed to. He says, I had a case of the Eved, that you see a guy sells himself into Avdus, Yumachuyev to be Poydim. So he says, very simple. He says, why would this guy sell himself into Avdus? Because he was starving. People don't sell themselves into Avdus for fun. It's no fun being an Eved, right? So he says, obviously, the guy was in terribly difficult straits. So he says, when somebody sells themselves because they're in dire straits, you're allowed to be paid to such a person so that he shouldn't go out in the Tarabas Ra. That's the reason. But somebody who electively did something bad, in such a case, you don't say because of Tarabas Ra we're going to protect you. And then the third case, he says, the case of the third raya that the Taz brought, which was, the case of the Menekes, the issue's Menekes. So he says, if you don't allow me to marry this fellow, I'm going to live with him in sin. So he says, what's the whole purpose why they didn't allow a Menekes to marry? Is Latoybas Havlad. He says, so now the woman's going to go. She says, I'm going to be unmarried. I'm going to move in with this guy, and we're going to move away. We're going to Yaisal Latar Bisra. He says, what's worse, Latoybas Havlad? That she should live with this guy, and they should run away in Shmadzachap? Or that she should, but Vlad should have to deal with manufactured milk products as opposed to her mother's milk. He says, clearly you look at the Toivas Havlad, in this case, that's the greater good rather than the good of, she says, in all these cases, you have to look, there's a reason. If I have somebody's going to be Yaitzel Atar B'Sra, let's break the halacha. My daughter said, if you don't let me have a mini skirt, she's going to be Yaitzel Atar B'Sra. If you give me, she's going to, you can't threaten that. Then it's Batla called in Torah. He says, each one of these halachas, there's a reason why they, in that case, they were Yaitzel. It was against the takana that was done for some other reason. But if I you can't hold the Torah hostage for Yaitzel Atar B'Sra. Interestingly, the last case that he says by the Menekes, he says, what do you have to look at the greater good of the child? It reminds me of a tshuva I saw recently. It's an astonishing tshuva, just as an aside. But I saw this in a tshuva sefer. A woman, a girl, a Sfardish girl with Eretz Yisrael, had an affair, and she got pregnant, and she was mafal the vlad. It didn't say how. So, she married, she did tshuva, and she got married. She marries a nice Sfardish boy, and they have a son. What's the halacha when you have a son? The pidyon haben. Now, if somebody previously had had either an abortion or a miscarriage, there's no pidyon haben. So they came to the Rav, I saw this writing, and they asked the Rav, she said like this, if I tell my husband that I had an affair and I had a thing, our marriage is over, he's going to divorce me, I'll be a single mother, or I cannot tell him and he'll be over a brachal of atala of pidyon haben. And the psak was, she has to tell him. And I looked at this shayla and I said, wow. Like, just think of this, okay? A brachal of atala, in this case, is why do Magen Avraham a drabanan? Why? Because any bracha, it's not a shame Hashem levatala like somebody curses, but it's as part of a bracha. It's done in a respectful way. It's an issa drabanan. You're not being mechal Hashem. You're saying it. So now you're saying, let's not be over drabanan. That's one side. The other side is the kid is going to grow up as a single child with a mother who's now sort of debased in the community, right? She had had an affair. Now, the kid's going to come to show, where's your father? Oh, you're from the divorce, from the affair. I ask you, what is this kid going to look like? So you talk about how when the Chassam Sofer says, we have to look, this is a drabanan of Menekes. What's better for the child, drabanan, he says. What are you, crazy? The kid should grow up with two parents who are fried, but rather, of course you're going to be over this. Here we have somebody who says such an absurd thing, really an absurd psak, because of a bracha levatala, we're going to tell the kid to grow up as a single parent with a mother who's struggling. When you find the Shababdik smoking weed on Shabbat, he'll say, but a good thing his father didn't make a bracha levatala. See, clearly the Chassam Sofer didn't agree with this. I'm sorry? Okay. Good. So, he says, by Saita, you see, Yemoich Hashem's name for Tzala. It's very interesting. Okay, so let's go back to our case. So we have here clearly that the consensus of the Paiskim is that what? That we're not worried about the guy will go fry. You know what? Maybe it's better he should go fry to set a standard in our community. So now let's look, what about the children? You know, you say, well, if you can't daven in our shul, what does that do to the children? So look at page 3. Let's look at the how the Ramah stand about the children. Imratzu bezdin l'mayit anidim amin halachavav. Or page 3 halachavav. Oy l'haysev rishus b'yad haga. Now we're talking about, again, somebody who's a menuda. Yesh rishus l'bezdin l'hachmer alav shalo yamulu banav v'shalo yikaver im yamos. Listen to this. The Beis Din could be machmir not to maul his children, not to bury his family members if they die. Ulegarish is bonav mi beis ha-sefer, v'ishtay mi beis ha-knesses, ad sheyikabel olav hadin. No, they say that. That when somebody's in nidui, Beis Din could not bury his children, not maul them, throw his kids out of school, and his wife out of shul. Now, the Taz is going to have some issues with this again. But clearly, what's he saying? Right? And we're going to discuss about this, the concept of collective punishment in halacha. We'll continue this. But what are they guilty for? Now, clearly, the Ramah is saying, what is the purpose of this Ramah? The purpose of this Ramah is going to say that if somebody is a flagrant violator of halacha, as a community, we have to have standards. Because if we don't have standards, what's the message? You let Wet move in. His kids come to base safe. He says, look, you know, satnuch yakost. You know, I had to move. But the end of the day is we're in school and everything. So if you get caught, they'll wire you up. You'll go to 13 rabbanim who don't know anything what's going on. You'll explain to them, could you cash your check for me, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, your sentence was reduced from 10 years to 2 months because there are 13 rabbanim who didn't know what they were doing. I mean, don't we have to have some standards? Or in a case like, you go to weddings, there's a very famous pedophile in Brooklyn who was in all the papers, etc. And I go to a wedding and he's dancing in the middle with the chasm. What's the message? What's the message to us as a community when this happens? And what's the message, you know, we've spoken, Tzvi Glock said that in the last year, he said this on the air, there were 84 suicides of children and of molested kids. And he says he went to the Levias, right? So what's the message to the ones who didn't commit suicide when they go to a chasana and Yudi Koko is dancing in the middle? We established that halachic opinion is that we don't care if he's Yaitu Latar Bisra. And by Banav Ubnei Beisai, it goes so strong to say, Lo Yamulu, Lo Yikaver Shanim Yamus, not to bury, Lagarish is Banav Mi Beisai Sefer, V'ishtim Mi Beisai Knesses. It just gives us some type of a gravitas as how do we look at people who try to destroy our community. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not discussing somebody who made a sin and stole and evaded taxes. And these things happen. But people, the aseres adibris, which is say, like signoiv, like sinav, they're talking to Jewish people, right? They're talking to Fruma people. When it says, like sachmar, like sinav, like signoiv, like it's talking, right? We're talking, people in moments of passion do terrible things. I'm talking about the type of violation that goes beyond that, where it's humiliated all of us. It's at least a chilul Hashem. In the case of a mass pedophile, pedophiles, like Rav David Cohen once said, he said, it's like potato chips. Nobody eats one. He says, your average pedophile, it says, and there's disagreements, but between 50 and 100 children in their lives that they will touch. Right? Average pedophile. So when you have somebody who's created a Ponzi scheme that is all over the papers and has taken down Moistis and Almanis and charity funds, I'm talking about egregious crimes that go beyond the pale. Do we say he's dancing in the middle? Let's join the circle. Do we say give him a hakafa or give him an aliyah? Or does somebody courageous get up and say, you don't belong in our shul? You don't belong by this wedding. I want to be Meicha. You get three guys together and you say, you don't belong. That's really the question that I'm asking. Now, if you look at the Taz over here, the Taz asks the question, Legarish is Bana of Mibes HaSefer. This is Tziv Gimel in the Taz. He says, Ken Kosov Haran B'Shemer of Paltiel Goyen, Barashal, the great Marashal of Kosovo, the Perika Gezel Basra, Chalila, Vamasha Oilam Einem Eskayim Ella Behevel Piyim Shaltinoikis Lavatlam. He says, how could you stop them from going to Beis HaSefer? Bishlama Mila Sheikar HaMitzvah Tluya Ba'av Vikvaydei Dechein Likver Meisayala Olav Mutal Shaloy Lahalan Vikvaydei. So it's against him. Kaifen Aithij Kapel of Tshuva Vachakach Molin Vakaifen Aval Batalma Terish Shaltinoikish Einle Tashlumin Va'olav Nemer Im Kazvein Yoim Yamayim Azeka Pshita the less time alahadolsa. So the marshal argues on the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, no, you can't have collective punishment against the quid. The gamma shakaz of lahaiti is ishtir beis hakneses lai nihira im hu chata hi ma chata. Loi a'amen, I don't believe sheyatsu beis dvar meilu mepia goyin. He says, I don't believe that Rav Paltiel Goyin could have written this. And I don't believe, I guess he's arguing in the Shulchan Aruch. Oh, so what does the Taz say? V'yeshlo t'moy al t'mihasay. L'fi daitay, ha'yelay loysel t'moy, al shalay yikfru loy meysay. Im hu chata, oysay nefesh machata. He says, what is the dead body chata? Shetay mutelos b'b'zayin. Mashiach ha'kosav ha'tur v'shim memalef. Shim memalef in Yeriday is where it talks about huchas b'zayin ha'meys. Right? Oysay sik brenu b'yisay yoyim. The b'zayin is the kulachayu. L'anil ani estaiti. The high goyin lay marry elami bana vaktanim. He says it's talking about the young children. Shein b'hem zchus mitzad atzman adayin elatluyim va'omdim b'zchus shel aviyim oisem yesh v'shus la'akiv. He says those that are still dependent on the father, those you could throw out of the school. Avaloy g'doylim shein k'vei k'bul ischar. He says that they have their own lives mitzad atzman. Umitzad mizeh hatam nosan agayin v'shus gamkein l'garish bana beis haseif hain uktanim. Aval beishtei vade ein shum tam levazoisa the oil imoy ve'ena yeredes imoy. So the Taz argues somewhat on the Shulchan Aruch. He says that this that you're allowed to punish the family. He says it's only bana vaktanim, and he says but ishtei and the gedolim you would not be allowed to. And the Shulchan Aruch argues. So you see on the collateral damage there's equivocation. On the person himself, the Baruch of Paiskim argue. Now the Radvaz, who was the great Paisik maybe the greatest Paisik of his time, he was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, but whereas the Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch in somewhat relative anonymity, Radvaz was the Rav of Egypt, which at that time was the biggest Jewish community, and he wrote thousands of psak all over the world, and he was asked, and on page 5 and page 6, he also takes his home design, he was asked as Shaila, how much do you go after a chayte? And he finishes it, and he agrees with the Shulchan Aruch. He says, you're not worried that the person would go out fraised, because in that case, no community could protect itself. But then he finishes with very wise words. It's on page 6, right before Tshuva Kuf Teches, and this will somewhat go to what, I'm sorry, I don't know, what's your name, sir?
Benjamin.
This will go a little bit to what Benjamin asks. He says, "Va'achol gav shekasafti kol de lahalacha," that you're allowed to punish the person, even if he'll go out with tarbisra. Mikol makayim yesh lemanig hadar, the leader, the paisik hadar lies musim b'dvarim keila, to be circumspect and careful. Lefi she'ein kol hanashim shavim, not all people are equivalent. V'lav kol averis shavis, and not all averis are shavis. Okay, so. Adam shu ragol ba'averus u'vaytech ba'asmai b'tanasei ein chayshvilei. Like when you go into shul and the guy's sitting oibinon, that's one thing. And then you have another person who realizes they've done something bad, and they have remorse and they're embarrassed. So if the guy's walking around, yeah, I did it. I'm dancing in the middle. The guy came over to me by oh, the smachta, like with a slap on the back. You were just in the post today. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Like, you know, we're giving everybody a good gevensh jar, like vinching on, like your bracha should be in the sky, right? He says, Loikala averis shavis, hakeitzet adam shu ragol baveris vaytech ba'atzmai vatanasi enchai shalai v'yem ha'shiyya v'namid ha'tayra v'em enei ragol v'kariv ha'davar shiyishma mamshich anayisi b'dvarim ad sheyoshuv ma'at ma'at v'memarim l'anisha mibnei ha'takala. So each case is really needs its own. Okay, so here I want to get to another, a sort of a sidebar, but it's a relevant question. So let me, besides the question of collateral damage, really has a great issue, let me ask you all to be the paiskim in this question. So you're an Israeli guy, you're in a helicopter, and you're watching a terrorist. A very, you know, a dangerous terrorist. You've been following him through his cell phone signals for the last 2 years. And they're sitting there, and the guy's about to launch a missile and kill him. And just before he launches the missile, guy's in the Gaza Strip, he doesn't know from anything. Guy hails a taxi, jumps into a taxi. Well, now you want to blow him up. You don't know if you'll ever see this guy again, but you're going to kill the taxi driver, who's just an innocent guy, some fellow earning a salary to pay his nine kids' meals, right? Are you allowed to blow up the taxi or not? In war, it's called collateral damage, right? What is the halacha in such a case? Terrorist, so they blow him up, okay? Baruch Shepatrani. Then they have, a few days later, they find even a more valuable terrorist. He's about to. And the guy runs into an apartment building. There's 100 apartments in the building. Now you're going to kill maybe 200 people or 300 people to kill him. Would you do that? It's interesting that you mention that. So let's go to the halacha, okay? Let's go to page 8 here. We're not going to go necessarily in order. It says like this. This is the halacha of Yerim Hidachas. I'm top of page 8. Makin kol nefesh adam asher bon in Eir Nidachas lefi cherev taf b'noshim im hutcha kula. You have an Eir Nidachas. What's an Eir Nidachas? An Eir that most of the city is over the Avodah Zarah. You wipe out the city, including the taf b'noshim. So now go to the Migdalois on the bottom. All the way on the bottom, the Migdalois, the second line. Kartama remosha halevi mitoltula. From the island of Malta. I actually passed his caver, the island where he was in prison, right? Ramosha Levi Abulefi, his name was, right? Lama Henish Hanashim Vaktanim, Shainim Benechiyev. In an Eir Nidachas, why do we collateral? Why do we kill the women and children? The non collateral damage. The Heshiv Chachme Lunil, Beraya, the Gars Bisafri, Hake Takis Yoshfir, Mikanar Muhachamim, Ein Mekaimen Esatoilim Kval. Shehargim Oisai, you kill them. The Oid, the Bakrisis, Plukted Rezler, Akiv, Rebel Ezasar, Tanim Nami, Rishi, Sol, Neragin, Rebel Kibisavar, A, Neragin, or Potsgrab, Lemishum, the Stams of Free Rib Shimon. Okay, the Oid. He's going to bring a right, says, no, you kill the children. The Oid, the Ikolamelech, me Adas Kairach, what happened by Adas Kairach? The ground opened up, and who got died? Kairach, the Chaladasai, including the women and the children. Now the children were ptanim, they were not b'nei chet.
right? Vatap v'yavish begila v'anche yavish begila chahargu anashim vatap afol pishahem lechatu nenchu bavur hagdolim mishnei taimim chada shehem siba v'garmim liyeshivas hagdolim.
I guess the gdolim lived there because of the ktanim. I don't understand this reason exactly. V'oid lirdeis hagdolim, to punish the gdolim, you kill the ktanim. Well, that's wonderful if you're the gadol, but what about the katan?
So bottom line is, the Chacham Eluniel said three riot to collective punishment. Ir hanidachas, anshe kairach, yavesh begilad. Very scary. There is, who used to act, and they say El Havdol in the concentration camps, if somebody escaped, they would alternatively line up 50 people and shoot them. To show, if you escape, we're going to kill 50 other people. Right, that's the concept of collective punishment. So Daniel says, I have three rayas. Now look at the Rivash. Let's turn the page and see what the great Rivash says. Yitzhak Bar Sheshes, of the Paiskim of the Evel, who ever lived. Right? And he was asked the following question. Erech, I'm not sure I have it 100% right, because I forgot. I learned to chew a while ago. The halacha is that a melech who, let's say, charges taxes, if it's done justly, then you have to pay the taxes. If he's doing it just to punish Jews, it loses the rubric of Dina de Malchusa Dina. In other words, if we are treated as part of the normal halach yelach of a Medina, Dina de Malchusa Dina, laws that are particularly anti-Semitic don't get the value of Dina de Malchusa Dina, and if you could avoid them, you would, right? Scapegoating laws. She was asked about a case where two or three Jews went ahead and they issued counterfeit coins. And because of that, they wanted to take away all the possessions of all the Jews who lived in the country. So he was asked by somebody, well, guess what? I could get some of the art. You know, there was I could deal with this, you know, they're selling their possessions out of sale prices. Can I buy it or not? Is that considered theft or not? So the Rivash talks about punishing some people for the acts of others. So here's how he responds. It's like the second or third line, the end of the second line. Kolshkei v'kolshkein, shekitzvas ha-melech asher katzav al kol ha-yehudim ha-yegevel gomer etzleinu. He says, v'chibishvil beiv a-gimel shol tilkalu b'inyan ha-matbeya, two or three made fraudulent coins, yiktzav al kol ha-yehudim, and to expel them from the land, right, collective punishment. He says, right? He doesn't bring the end of the pasuk. What does Avraham Avinu say to Hashem by the story of Sudayim? He says, are you going to punish tzaddik in Russia? Because all the tzaddikim should die because there's some rishayim here. So clearly, he says, we don't believe Avraham Avinu decried collective punishment. But what does he do with the din of Ir Hanidachas, with the din of Yavish Begila, with Kairach? Right. Let's continue. He's going to bring another raya. Umayshe Rabbeinu Amar Haish Echad Yechta Balkola Eda Yiktayf. Because of him, I should, right? And Gam came a Maimer Hamurgo B'Lashon Arami Tovia Chata V'Zugu Nagei, because Tovia Chaita Zugu Im came Zuhak Tzava Gezel Gomer, right? So he says it has a din of Gezel Gomer, and Gam and Achim in Halacha. So the Rivash says collective punishment is Asa. So why am I? What is this relevant to what we're speaking about? The father did something really bad, and now we have a Shulchan Aruch that says, "You're not mal his kids. You're not kover meisa. You're megarish and ishta mibeis hakneses ubana mibeis hasefer." So how do we resolve this contradiction in halacha between Ir Hanidachas, Anshei Kairach, Anshei Yavish Begilad, to the three cases that he brings, and then let's try to tie that back to the Shulchan Aruch. So I think as a hint, there are some hints, by the way. Let's go back to page to page 7, I bring a Gur Aryeh from the Maral. The Maral, besides being a great philosopher, was also the Paisik. He was the Rav of Prague for many years, right? For decades, actually, right? The Maral asked the following question. He says, how was Anshe Shechem, how was the Bnei Yaakov allowed to kill Anshe Shechem? Right, he says, just because, so he brings the Rambam and he is going to argue, he says, because it's Divrei Matzil HaKosuv Omer, it's on page 7, right? He says, how could they kill? Im Shechem Chata, Kala Ir Machatu Larei, what did they do? He says, "V'tiritza Rabbam, the Bnei Noach mitzuvin al adinim, v'aver achasher v'nerig al yodei, v'kan roa ma'isa zevelei donu." He says they were chayiv because they didn't judge Shechem. And he says that, so it's sort of the Kitty Genovese law. You cannot stand by while somebody perpetrates an avera. That's the opposite of dinim, and Bnei Noach is nerig al dinim. He's going to argue. U'be'emes davar teimahem. He says they couldn't judge him. He says he was the shtarka. He was the Trump. He was like, they can't. Nobody's going to get him to start up with him, right? They were afraid of them. He says you can't do that. So if you look at the end of the piece, the Maral says like this, a very interesting thing. He says, we do not believe in collective punishment. But he says, this was a war. And he says, what happens during war? Innocent people die because of soldiers. And if you think the Maral is living 500 years, you know, the Maral lived around the year 1500. What's going on right now in the United States is bombing ISIS. And they're killing many civilians, too. I mean, look, in Afghanistan, they send drones to kill terrorists. Many times, family members are killed. When the Allies carpet bombed Dresden, they killed 100,000 people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Are we outraged? The understanding is that, yes, collective punishment is, as a rule, right, is something that is repugnant. But in times of war, the Maral says, look at his Lashon. There were many who didn't do. Ein zechilik. Kivan shahayu ba'isa umash asaralahem mutarin lavi aleim lamalchava vekein him kol hamalchama. It's astonishing morale, but it's very, he says, in times of war, the very concept of war is that there is collateral damage and collective punishment. That is what war means. Right, so here's an interesting, which we see that in modern times, and I haven't heard anybody criticizing the Allies for Dresden. I mean, Hiroshima and Nagasaki are criticized, but the collective conscience of the world is that they did the right thing, right? So, if we understand the morale, we could understand, for example, that in the case of Korach, it's sort of an entire community came to stand up against Moshe. Well, an entire community stands, yes, there are going to be among them those that get punished, that die, that are innocent. In the case of Yavish Bibigival, there was also a type of a war. And in the case of Ir HaNidachas, again, it's an entire community, or the rove of a community, and in that case, there are going to be, sadly, those that fall between the cracks, the innocents. So now let's go to the case of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu asks, he says, by Sidoim, I'll call it, you know, Bahamith Tzadik in Russia. So it's interesting. Hashem said no. But what happens when it fell below 10? Avram stops asking. And why is that? I ask the same question. Lahamit Tzadik in Russia. There's one innocent person dying here. How could you do that? And the answer would be, I think, a similar answer. When it's less than 10, that means the great majority has voted and said, this is our behavior. And if there's just a minority among you, less than 10, that's not significant anymore. And you become like the story of Shechem. And you become like the story of Yavesh Megillah, or like Adas Kairach. But if it had been something where a vocal, more than a minion, at that point you could say, because of these people, and it's interesting that at that point, you're not Meim Tzadik in Russia. So it's a little bit iterative exactly what the number is, but it's a similar concept. So the case of Moshe, what does Moshe say? Ha'ish echa techtav al kola eda tiksaif. That's already problematic. That is problematic to say collective punishment. Or the case of the Rivash, because one tuv yechata zugur yagit. What is his? Why is ish b'cheta yumas? That's our rule. Except in some type where it's an entire community, which leads us back to our case. Why it's a single person who's chayta? Why his entire family? What are they shuldig? Which is what the Taz Taka disagrees. He brings from the Taz argues on the Shulchan Aruch. How would the Shulchan Aruch possibly explain it? I mean, I would just possibly say that when somebody has done something so egregious to a community that in effect is it an attack on the entire community, that Jews all over are humiliated and damaged and hurt because of this one person's actions, where alternatively you have a pedophile who's attacked many, I would make the argument to understand the Shulchan Aruch that one person could in effect declare war on a community. When somebody goes ahead with a yarmulke and he does certain action where it's carried in the London Daily Mail, these articles are carried, it's cruel, what is, one person has declared war on our tzibur. And in that respect, it is so much damage, we could say, in this case, you can do collective punishment. I would say, as a community, the right Rivash is the Pesach says we don't. The exception would be is in an act of war, where an entire community has, or where individual's action has reached the severity where it is, in effect, either an act of, basically declaring an act of war on us. But except for those cases, ish b'cheta yumas. That's how I would understand the Shulchan Aruch. Thank you.